Welcome to Unscripted Wrestling. This is our secondary show, our Sunday show, most controversial wrestling podcast in the world. I'm Daniel Hummer, one of your hosts here with Doug, Eric, and Clinton. How's everybody doing tonight?
Pretty good. Surviving.
Good.
All right, today we got a special episode. We're going to be doing our world-class tier ranking. We also, do we have anything else today, or?
I don't know. Do we want to get into,
WrestleMania?
Has anybody besides me watched part one of the Benoit Dark Side of the Ring?
I think it's just you and me, Doug. I do want to talk about it, but if nobody else watched it, then you can get into it.
If nobody else watches it, then we got to wait and talk about it next week.
Okay.
Well, we already know what the fuck happened.
Yeah, but there was more to it than.
Well, yeah, but I think that's something because we got this that we're gonna do today. I think we could save that for next week.
Next week,
especially
okay.
after we
Fair
watch
enough.
Part two.
Because YouTube was showing it, they. Post it like a few days before it airs. So,
yeah. Well, they did that. They did that in season one too, because they aired the Brody episode before all the other episodes aired.
Oh, nice.
Which didn't make it. Which the Brody episode was actually the third episode in the series, and that's the one they put on YouTube.
Oh, wow. Oh.
So,
anyway,
that's basically just a way for Viceland to make sure that everybody wants to watch this show.
Exactly.
So, all right, Daniel, go ahead and explain to us how this tier list is going to work.
Okay, so the tier list is kind of like a ranking, except we're not like ranking like 1 to 10 or 1 to 100. We got, I think, around 90 names in this list. We'll probably cut some fat, but... We got five different tier lists. So the number one list is the Elite, which I was calling it the best, but we're calling it the Elite. That's the top of the line here. That's like your main draws, your main stars, the best people in the territory. Very good is like right up there, but not quite the best, like really good hands. Middle of the road
right.
is kind of like they served their purpose, like they were decent hands, but nothing major. Eh is kind of like just bearable, like not quite terrible, but not good either. And then ass is our last category, which is just the worst of the worst.
Now, before we get started, Clintus, have you ever watched any WCCW?
No, I never really watched it.
Okay, basically, you're just along for the ride, and you're just going to follow what we say, right?
Basically, I'm just going to follow along, she says. I mean, I've never watched WCCW, but I know I did look at some of the rosters and who was in there and all. So,
okay. All right, so just to make sure, and Eric, you know a little bit, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. All right. So, are we ready to get this thing started?
Yeah, we'll get started.
Yeah,
we are. Should we get the plug out of the way? Oh, listen to Boxman Anthony on the mister.com/dirtsheetdudes every Wednesday night and every Friday and every other Saturday or Sunday for the Halloween hangout. They actually did talk about Chris Benoit episode part one yesterday on Friday night. So they only talked about it for like 10, 15 minutes, but they actually got into it a little bit. It was really actually good. And then listen to us every Friday night and every Sunday night at Friday at 9 p.m. and Sunday about 5 or 6 p.m. And follow us on Twitter at USWPod. Join our Facebook groups, Old School Wrestling and Unscripted Wrestling. And what was the other group, Daniel?
The Comedy Bard on Facebook.
Yep. Join that too. All great groups.
Now, right. Now also too, this list here is basically it's just a teaser. Because Friday night for the Friday show we're gonna do another one. The poll's up. We're either gonna be ranking the WWF's Golden Era, the WWF's Attitude Era, the WCW Monday Nitro Era, or the WWE Ruthless Aggression Era. So, Clint, if you might actually have a little bit more to say depending on who wins that one.
Yeah.
And to give a little update on that, I think the Golden Era is currently running away with it, but we still have a few more days with it. So,
Only thing that pisses me off about that Golden Era winning is the fact that I got to write down 200 fucking names. I'm going to have carpal tunnel by the end of this.
Well, I can help you since I'll be here home.
Yeah, I was just going to say, Eric's in prison right now, so he's got plenty of time to write.
Yeah, I can help you.
All right, so I'll be reading most of these names off before we – and then we'll rank them, put them in a list. Doug might have to read some of them because he wrote them down, and his handwriting's like a three-year-old got their hand broken, so.
Poor Doug. Sorry,
you.
Doug.
Yeah, it's all right. The stuff I do.
So the first name on this list will do.
You want to start with the Von Erichs, or do you want to start with a different name?
John Casey.
Yeah, I guess we could start with him wherever he is.
Well, I wrote these in alphabetical order, so he's got to be with the S's.
Okay.
Yeah, there he is.
All right. Scott Casey.
All right. Now, Clint, a little bit of a backstory because you were not with us. We actually had Scott Casey on the show last week.
Cool.
All right. And basically, yeah, that's what started this whole theme that we've been going on with the World Class Championship Wrestling, because basically we spent quite a bit of the time talking about WCCW because that was one of the main territories that he worked. Okay. Now, basically, the backstory on Scott Casey is this. He came in 85.
Yeah.
Okay. He was basically – he was put with Sunshine, their top female babyface manager. He teamed with Kabuki until Kabuki turned on him. But he spent a lot of time not only feuding with Kabuki, but also feuding with Hollywood John Taylor. Okay? The matches were good. He was a good hand, but he never reached that top. And he even said it. My name was not Von Erich, so I wasn't going to be a top guy. But he was pretty close.
Was he?
I think so. I mean, either you're going to team with Von Erich, or you either team in that territory, you either team with the Von Erichs or you team with Sunshine, and you're going to get over.
Yep.
Yeah. So will we put Scott Casey in very good then?
Yeah, I wouldn't necessarily call him elite.
Okay.
But I would say very good because he served a purpose.
Yeah. And we're not ranking these guys in any particular order. We're just putting them in their tiers.
We're just putting them in the tiers.
Yeah. Okay.
It's really interesting.
Okay.
So he started
you're a good
the whole
guy
thing.
To talk to.
What?
So was he like this whole person start the whole thing, or was this like the main stay of the whole the whole company then?
He was basically Clint with him. It was. He came in 85. The company was already on fire. And he had some main level feuds, and he worked he didn't have, any matches, or he didn't tag with the Von Erichs at all, but he tagged with Sunshine, who was their top babyface female manager, and she was just about as over as Yvonne Eriks were.
Yep.
Okay, or that's my opinion anyway.
That sounds cool. Well, no, I'm just here to learn. You learn something new every
right.
day. So with this whole episode,
right.
I'm going to probably learn a whole lot of things.
All right, now the next name I'm going to get, should I just start off naming Russell Lister? Yeah, we might as well just go,
yeah, go ahead.
You want to go in alphabetical order now?
I don't know.
All right. Because if we start at the top, we'll Al Perez is the first name at the top of the list here.
Okay.
All right. I got to give a backstory on Al Perez, don't I?
Yeah, you're giving a backstory. We did go over the layout of the show, so we know what to do. Let's go.
All right, Al Perez is the next name on the list. Al Perez, here's the funny thing about him. He came in more as the company was dying off. So about like 86, 87-ish.
Right.
So when I say dying off, in late 85, early 86, Fritz Von Erich, who was obviously he was the promoter for World Class, he decided to break away from the NWA because WCCW was part of the NWA. In late 85, early 86,
Go ahead.
The hell was that?
Sorry.
I have no idea. Eric, are you getting phoned by somebody in your room?
What? No, I clicked on the wrong thing. Go ahead, Doug.
Jesus. Eric's got a girl in his room and she can't even keep quiet.
Wow.
You know Stephanie is off.
And she listens to this show. So anyway, I lost my train of fucking thought. Yeah. So when Fritz decided that he was going to take the company national, the national expansion, which is what a lot of the territories were doing, because that's what Vince was doing, WCCW's business kind of went south because not all the other regions were used to that. Texas was. They were drawing huge in Texas, but not necessarily anywhere else. But in about around like 86, 87, Al Perez came in, and basically he was the WCCW champion. He feuded with Kerry. He was a heel. I mean, he did do some babyface work too, but he was mainly managed by Gary Hart. He was a good hand in the ring. He just wasn't like main event star material.
Okay.
So if I were to have a vote, I would say middle of the road.
Do you remember any programs, big programs, or anything he did really?
Not really.
So does he go middle of the road or eh?
I think he would go in middle of the road just because, you know, he was, you know, he did feud with Kerry for a little bit. He feuded with Kerry, feuded with Chris Adams.
Okay.
All right. Next name would actually be Fritz. Do we want to do Fritz right away or do we want to wait?
Yeah, we can do Fritz Von Erich. We're not going to go alphabetical order.
We're not?
No.
Okay. All right.
Fritz
Von Erich, of course, was the promoter of WCCW. He was the father of the Von Erich boys. Now, when Fritz was a wrestler, it was known as big time wrestling.
Yeah.
Okay. He turned it into world class when he retired in 1980. But he was the top star, and then when he couldn't be the top star anymore, he had to rely on his boys.
Yep.
I would put him under Elite because he's the booker of the territory.
Well, yeah, I mean he was, and Fritz was a very, very good wrestler in his day.
Was he?
Yeah.
What are some of his bigger programs?
Well, he worked with, his retirement match was against King Kong Bundy, and that drew a huge crowd at Texas Stadium.
Okay.
Was he ever world champion?
Yeah, like the whole time.
Oh,
yeah,
wow. Okay.
Well, I mean, he was the promoter of the territory, so of course he was the world champion. I mean, to be honest with you, and I'm not picking on you, Eric, even though it's easy to do.
Hey.
Back in those days, you know, the promoter always made himself world champion.
Right.
Vince McMahon never made himself, and you know, even later on, you know, in the later years, Vince made himself WWE. I mean, it was only for a couple of days. But,
yeah.
But everybody does that. So.
Yeah.
All right, so Fritz, we're going to Elite.
Let's do Buzz Sawyer.
The Mad Dog. All right, so he was another one of those guys that was brought in to work, obviously, with the boys.
Yeah.
Work with Kerry. And what was funny was that, like, in order for a lot of these guys to get over, they had to work with Kerry.
Okay.
Especially later on.
Yeah.
If you didn't work with Kerry, or you couldn't work with Kerry,
yeah,
then you weren't going to make it. Because Kevin wasn't, and we'll get to Kevin Von Erich later, but Kerry was the better worker. The only brother that was a better worker than him was David.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, as far as Buzz Sawyer goes, and Buzz, like, not a lot of his stuff really jumps off the top of my head.
Okay. Yeah, I remember him a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, he was a bigger star in Georgia Championship Wrestling.
Okay.
Georgia Championship Wrestling. Go ahead, Eric.
No, go ahead. Sorry. I would say after.
I mean, he was one of those guys, too, that, like, kind of bounced back and forth between Mid-South and World Class because that's the relationship that Fritz had with Bill Watts.
Yeah.
So I would probably say put him in middle of the road.
Okay.
That's what I was going to ask. That's where I was going to put him. We can all agree with that, right?
Okay.
Yeah. Kenneth will disagree with it because he doesn't know what the fuck we're talking about.
Right.
Let me prove my point.
Uh-huh.
We're not going to go into that. Okay.
One day I'll have more events. Let's put it that way.
So next, we probably go the infamous legendary manager, Gary Hart.
Okay. Gary Hart, top heel manager, also for a time was the world-class booker. Okay.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, he was.
He was the booker until he had a falling out with Fritz over, I think it was how to book the Freebirds. But, you know, he would keep coming back, and then he had issues with the guy that ended up being the booker, which was Ken Mantell. But Gary, he was there. He, you know, he managed Kabuki. He managed Abdullah the Butcher when Abdullah made his loops. He managed Killer Tim Brooks, Maniac Mark Lewin. Also, he managed the Dingo Warrior. And he managed Chris Adams and Gino Hernandez.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Okay.
That's what I remember him mostly for.
Yeah,
and
Adam's in Cena.
To me, I didn't really like Gary Hart. So my ranking of him will not be that high because I think that there were managers there that were better than him. And I think you're wrong because he's a legendary manager all throughout the NWA, but probably most famously here. This was his stop spot, so I don't know. Do you know anything about Gary Hart, Eric?
Not really. I just I just know the name. I mean, he's not related to Jimmy Hart or the Harts, right? I know that sounds like a dumb question. Okay. Just want to make sure he's not.
Where would you put him, Doug?
I would put him in the middle of the road.
I put him below elite.
I would put him in very good.
Okay, then put him there.
Yeah, very good.
Okay.
Don't hang up my phone, though.
Yeah.
All right.
I see Jerry the King Lawler on here. Was he ever there for that long?
It was toward the end. It was after. It was technically still called WCCW, but Jerry Jarrett had basically bought the territory.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
so
enough.
What's that, Clint?
So wasn't he one of the last to hell one of the world titles there though?
Yes. I'm glad you brought that up. So basically, January of 1988.
Super Clash, right?
Well, that would be later in the year. But going back to January of 88, Fritz basically knew that the company was dying. So he looked to whoever he could. Because Mid-South had actually already gone away. Or it was the UWF, and then it went away. It had gotten absorbed by Crockett.
Yeah.
Well, Fritz went to Jerry. I'm having some trouble. And Jerry said, well, you know what? I'll buy a working relationship right now with the AWA. Because Lawler was the AWA, or no, he wasn't the AWA champion yet, but they were working on it. So Jared buys the company in January of 88. Lawler starts going there, starts doing some stuff. Now, they're technically still WCCW at that time, or WCWA. They're technically, their parent company is called the World Class Wrestling Association. That's what Fritz had to brand them as when they went national.
Yeah.
Lawler basically, in order to do the Super Clash pay-per-view, it was the unification match. It was Jerry Lawler versus Kerry Von Erich. The WCCW world title versus the AWA world title. Lawler was the AWA champion. Basically, this was a way for WCCW to kind of like disappear and become the USWA.
Yeah. And he beat Von Erich.
Yeah.
He didn't make too many shots there after that, did he?
No, well, WCCW became USWA Dallas.
Yeah.
Right after. Like in January of 89, they weren't even using the WCCW name yet, or anymore.
Okay. So, can we even list them?
I just put his name there just in case we wanted to list him. I don't think we need to.
Okay. Cornette.
All right. So, yes, Cornette was there.
Yeah.
He was there for about half a year, maybe longer. So, in 85, the Midnight Express's run in Mid-South was coming. Jim Cornette made a deal to Crockett.
Yeah.
To the Carolinas. and they were going to go. Well, because they were technically still under the control of Bill Watts, Bill Watts made them, or basically made a deal with Fritz to send the Midnights and Cornet to Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And so Cornet actually had to call Jimmy Crockett and say, apparently we have to go to Texas first because, and then of course Jimmy Crockett said, well, this isn't the first time Bill Watts did fucking.
Yeah.
So when they got there, Cornette and the Midnight gave their notice right away. They said, we're not going to stay. We'll do a couple shots, but then that's it because we wanted to go to the Carolinas. It's called Bill Watts. Bill Watts said, Jimmy, please just stay for a while until they don't need you anymore.
Yeah.
And they basically they feuded with the Von Erichs. Or not with the Von Erichs. They feuded with the fans.
They didn't feud with the Von Erichs.
Cornette cuts from all that. But that was it, and it was going to lead to nothing.
So should we put a bond? You want to put the Freebirds as a whole?
Yeah.
A middle of the road? Because they didn't do much?
The Midnight Express, not the Freebirds.
Yeah.
Yeah, you could put them in the middle of the road. I mean, they had good matches with the Fantastic, but they really weren't doing that much.
Enough to put them at very good?
No. Not in my opinion, no.
There's a couple names you could cross off there.
And Bobby's is on there. And then did I even put Condry?
Oh, he's with Condry at that point?
Yeah.
Okay. So they're on the middle of the road then, just because any other list, they would be on very good.
Okay. The next one I kind of want to tackle here is, just because I want to get him out of the way, is Buck Zumhoff.
Your buddy.
So?
Now, Buck Zumhoff.
Ah.
I don't want to judge him, though, for what he did outside of the ring. We're judging based on...
Well, here's the thing. Before he became that piece of garbage that everybody's going to remember him as, he was a good hand in the ring.
Okay.
All right, and what I remember mostly is the fact that he was WCCW Tag Champions with Iceman King Parsons, and they had a pretty good feud going with the... I think they were called the Super Destroyers at the time, the Irwin brothers, Bill and Scott. So he had a good run. The problem is that, one, it didn't really last very long because he went back to the AWA. I mean, he went back to the AWA before he went to jail.
How long was he in jail for?
Huh?
How long was he in jail for?
The first time he was in jail, I think he was in for about 2 years.
Okay.
Eric, he's been to jail 3 times. Now, finally,
oh, wow.
Like after the third time, the judge finally said, fuck it, you're just going to serve a life sentence now, so that way you don't have to keep coming back.
Is he still alive?
Unfortunately.
So should we put him in eh, or middle of the road, or ass?
See, here's the thing. I don't think he would have gotten over had not been for King Parsons.
Okay.
So I would put him in eh. And it's got nothing to do with what he did or who he did.
Okay. We got our first one in eh.
Right.
Yeah, I'll say ass.
Okay, so the next one I would say, go ahead, Eric.
No, I didn't say anything.
Oh.
Go ahead.
Let's do Ravishing Rick Rude.
I would say he's very good.
To be honest with you, and I would 100% agree with that too. But also, I would say because he was the champion during the dying days of the company, or when the company really started to go downhill, he came in at 85. And obviously, he left, you know, early 87. I would almost say that he would have to be probably in that elite because he carried the company.
Yeah, but while they were dying, like, he carried them into obscurity, so. It is best
I think he's elite
ahead of
just because of his
point,
name.
Right? Yeah, but
name
we got to do that. We got to do on how they were in the company.
I mean, when he did Texas Stadium against Brody, they still drew 40,000. Oh, yeah, I got to talk where people can hear me. When he did Texas Stadium against Brody, they still drew 40,000 people.
Wow.
So you think a lead?
See, I won't agree with Doug, though.
What's that, Clintus?
Yeah, I'm going to.
I will agree with you. Put him as elite, I will agree with that. We agree with you with that. When the fact is, we are able to carry a company at its low point, it says something. Because a lot of people don't want to be carry someone, a company around at its lowest point. You all want to be a star when it's at its high. And it takes somebody special to want to carry a company or help build a company up on its lowest lows.
Very good point.
All right, we'll put Rick Rude at elite then.
Yeah, because even though he didn't work a lot with the Von Erichs, I mean, he worked with Lance Von Erich.
Well, let's get to him next.
Oh, boy.
Lance Von Erich. A Von Erich that's not really a Von Erich.
The fake cousin.
Yeah. The fakest of fake cousins. Basically, here's the deal. Fritz brought in a cousin, or a guy that is a supposed cousin. This Lance Von Erich. They thought they were going to lose Mike. Which they did later on, but around the time they brought him in, they thought they were going to lose Mike. And so, because this company was basically based on Von Erichs, Fritz needed another Von Erich.
Yeah.
Kerry would eventually go on because of the motorcycle injury or the motorcycle accident. David was already gone. Kevin blew. So they needed another one. They brought in this guy. But then after a while, he got tired of being here. So he got tired of being here. So he's just like, and then he left. And then that's when Fritz was just like, okay, this guy, he was not a real Von Erich. So basically, you tried to make everybody think he was a real Von Erich, and then when he fucked you over, it's like, oh, yeah, no, he's not part of our family.
Yeah, so did he have memorable matches? Because he wasn't received very well, right?
Not really. I mean, when they put him with the Dingo Warrior, I mean, they were an okay tag team. But that was probably the high point of his career.
So does he go under ass? Or eh, or middle of the road.
I think he would go under eh.
Eh?
Yeah.
I'll put middle of the road.
You would what?
Sound like a middle of the road.
What did you say?
A middle of the road.
I think he said middle of the road.
All right. Next name we'll get to here. Let's get to Gorgeous Jimmy Garvin.
Ooh.
He'd have to go under elite, wouldn't he?
Here's the thing with him. They brought him in. Now, when he first came into the company in early 83,
yeah,
he was one of those guys, every time his match would be advertised, he would say, I do not want to be filmed, because he did not want anybody to have any film on him.
What?
Because he wanted that advantage. And he basically, he had it in his contract, and he would always come with a piece of paper that says, I am not to be filmed, and like a part of his contract that I would. So they would actually, during the show, they would say, okay, we got to turn this camera off.
Did they?
Yeah.
Wait, so this is real or no?
Well, it was part of his character.
Yeah.
He would be like, I am not to be filmed. And now when he started, he was with Sunshine, because Sunshine was a heel.
Yeah.
And they were good. But then it was they brought in this woman to be Sunshine's, you know, second, Sunshine's valet. It was Precious, Jimmy Garvin's actual wife.
Yeah, and Precious became a big deal.
Yeah. Jimmy Garvin and Sunshine broke up. Precious kind of took over. But people say more that Jimmy Garvin had a better chemistry with Sunshine than he did his own wife.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
People did not like Jimmy Garvin and Precious together. But it was his wife, so.
Did he ever hold any gold there? Or?
He was the America's champion, yeah. America's champion? Yeah, he held the America title. He beat David Von Erich for it.
Yeah, he feuded with Von Erich and Chris Adams.
Right. So he beat David Von Erich for it. He would hold it. He would have this big feud with Chris Adams, and then Chris Adams and Sunshine would team up to take on Jimmy Garvin and Precious. And then, of course, in the middle of the storyline, Garvin and Precious went elsewhere. They went to the AWA.
Oh, wow.
You know, yeah. So they left mid-storyline. But for the time that he was there, I would say Jimmy Garvin was part of the elite, I believe.
I think he's just on that level of very good or elite. I don't know where I would.
I think
him.
Very good.
Well, he kind of borders on that, because if he would have, had not he left when he did, he probably would have achieved more.
So we'll
that's why I
put
him in very good.
Good.
Yeah, put him in very good for now.
All right. Let's do. How about Gino?
Gino Hernandez?
Yeah.
Now, wasn't McFoley part of, like, or Cactus Jack part of this whole tear rigging too?
Towards the end, right?
Towards the end, when Jerry Jarrett bought the company, Glennis.
But I don't think they were world class at that time, were they?
No. I mean, they were world class by name only. So, all right, Gino Hernandez came in. He was basically, you know, he came in from the Houston territory, because at one point, World Class and Houston had a working relationship. But then Paul Bosch ended that relationship with World Class because he didn't like Gary Hart as the booker.
Yeah.
And then they tried it again with World Class, and Bruiser Brody fucked up, because Brody was booking in World Class at a time, and Brody fucked him pretty good. So, but with Gino Hernandez, Gino came in, and basically Gino had to take over Jimmy Garvin's spot.
Yeah.
Took over Jimmy Garvin's spot, took over the feud, because it was actually supposed to be Chris Adams and this woman, Selene French, who was kind of subbing for Sunshine while she was out doing something. They were going to take on Jimmy Garvin and Precious. Well, then Jimmy Garvin and Precious left.
Yeah.
So basically, Gino Hernandez kind of had to be, had to kind of step in as you know, filling that Garvin role.
He was one of the top heels there, right?
Yeah, he was, and he would have remained at the top. He remained at the top up until the time of his death.
Yeah.
So, and a lot of people will remember the hair match, the tag team hair match, where it was Yvonne Erickson versus Chris Adams and Gino Hernandez. And then Gino Hernandez and Gino and Chris lost, and then they put on masks so nobody could see their bald heads.
Yeah.
And then they had a falling out because the two of them were actually going to feud in 86. And the last words that were actually spoken to Gino Hernandez in the WCCW was Chris Adams saying, "I'm going to kill you."
Why?
Because that was the split. They split, and Gino Hernandez whacked Chris pretty good. So Chris basically said, again, this was on camera, this was in character, "I'm going to kill you."
Yeah.
Then Gino Hernandez ended up dead, so fans actually thought Chris Adams got to him because they believed that.
But wouldn't you too, if someone says that and automatically all of a sudden this guy just dies? Disappear, fall space on that earth.
Yeah, so, that was fucking crazy. So, the fact that, people actually believed, oh my God, Chris Adams went and he fucking killed him. Because, people believed that shit back then.
So, do we put Gino in very good or elite?
I would say put him in the elite.
Me too.
I think elite.
Yeah. You can get away with something like that. Of course, you have to be elite.
Should we do Chris Adams next since we just signed Chris Adams?
Oh, yeah, we can do Chris Adams, gentlemen. Chris Adams.
I would say right now
he was
elite.
A legend. You'd say he's elite?
Yeah.
Doug, where would you put Chris Adams?
I put him at the elite too.
Yeah, I put him right up there with Gino. I think they kind of go side by side.
Yep.
I think Chris had a little time to do a little more, but.
And plus, he feuded with Kerry Von Erich, so.
Yeah, he did. Gino feuded with Kerry Von Erich too, right?
Yeah. They were part of the tag hair versus hair match.
And Chris Adams had the whole ride gimmick, right, for a little bit.
Yeah, he actually had to wear an eye patch. He got blinded. Blinded 86-ish, I think, because they put him back with Sunshine, so he actually helped Sunshine. Work against Hollywood John Tatum and Missy Hyatt for a little while.
No.
So, but no, I would definitely put Chris Adams in that elite category because he worked as, he made it work as both a babyface and a heel.
Yeah.
So, you gonna write that down?
I already did.
Oh. Well, all right then,
bitch.
All right, so Chris Adams is let's see, who next?
Rosie.
Huh?
Rosie.
Who?
Brody.
Brody?
Yeah, Brody.
I thought you kept saying boobies. All right, Bruiser Brody. He's tough because he was a booker. He was a booker there. But also, he was there to work with the bigger guys.
Right.
And, get guys like Abdullah the Butcher, You know, he basically helped Rick get Rick Rude over. So
he's a household name anyway. At
yeah.
least he was.
Yeah. So, I mean, the two places he made them he made famous the most were Japan and Texas. Some would say Puerto Rico, but I think you're not necessarily a household Puerto Rican name when you get murdered there.
Yep. Did he ever do any shots in New York?
In 77, yeah. So what were you gonna say?
So where do you put him? I was gonna say, you put him in good, very good.
That's where I would put him.
Okay.
I would put him in very good.
Yeah, I would too.
Yeah.
How about you guys, Daniel?
Yeah. I mean, I think if we were just doing the territories, he would probably be elite.
Right.
But just for Texas, I think very good's probably a good spot. All right, let's do Kerry Von Erich. We did a show about him Friday. Ass.
I got it. I just gave Daniel the claw.
Wow.
I say elite.
Oh, you're stuck. Did you just say hi, baby?
No, I said elite.
I mean, I already think you have a girl in your room.
I don't.
Oh, my God.
So, all right, with Kerry, obviously Kerry would be elite because he was basically the top star in the company.
One of them.
Yeah. I think he was actually the guy, he was actually the son that Fritz believed in the most.
What are
his
biggest matches?
Kerry's?
Yeah.
Flair. Obviously.
Adams.
Yeah.
All the matches he had with the Birds. I know they did in Christmas of 83, they had a match between him and Michael Hayes in a cage, and the loser couldn't then wrestle in Texas for a year. So
wow.
I don't know how the fuck they got around that. I have no idea who won because both guys were wrestling in Texas 5 months later.
What?
I don't know.
Chris Adams.
So, obviously, he's elite, right? He's got to be elite.
Yeah. Hey. You're the son of the owner. You have to be elite.
What about the great Kabuki?
Great Kabuki?
Yeah.
I would put him at very good.
I'm playing middle of the road.
Did you just say middle of the road?
Yes, he did. He did say that.
Yeah, he did. You know, we're talking the great Kabuki, the guy from Texas in the 80s. We're not talking about the Kabuki Warriors from, you know, today.
Oh. No, I know. Yeah, I'll put him very good.
Boy, he changed his opinion pretty quick.
The thing about
Kabuki is he could work as both a babyface and a heel, but I think he had better heel work when he was managed by Gary Hart. And I'll never forget that. Well, I won't really forget it because I actually just watched a clip last week of when he turned on Scott Casey at the Cotton Bowl.
Oh,
Scott Casey came out
to
help him. They were Gary Hart and Mark Lewin were trying to humiliate Kabuki, and Scott Casey came out to help him, and then Kabuki just blindsided him, busted him wide open.
Damn.
So, yeah, he would definitely have to go at very good.
Yeah, there we go.
How about Kevin Sullivan?
Sullivan? Sullivan
yeah.
never really worked there.
Oh. I'm just looking what Google says, and he's part of the roster, according to Google. So.
Yeah, no, he really didn't work there, Eric.
Okay.
See, Harley Race. Well, yeah, Harley worked mostly there when it was big time wrestling.
How about? Let's do Kevin Von Erich. The only Von Erich that's alive. The only brother that's still alive.
I think this will be a controversial one.
Yeah, probably. Especially after what I'm going to say.
Go ahead and say it.
Ass.
Kevin?
Yeah.
Really?
I didn't think he was that good.
Okay.
I mean, we can't do that because he was in the...
Von
Erichs. With the Von Erichs. He was the biggest...
Yeah.
One of the biggest Von Erichs.
Kevin?
Yeah. Him, David, and Kerry were the top three guys in the company.
Yeah.
Against the Freebird.
Yeah. And it was stupid for him to be... I didn't like his work. I didn't think his work was very good. I felt like he was very bland.
We're not putting him in ass. We can't.
No.
You said you wanted controversy. That's why I just gave it to you.
I mean, we are the most controversial wrestler. I would put him in elite because he was.
So we got two very different.
He was in one of the biggest feuds.
Are you going to put him in elite because he's Von Erichs?
I mean, he was in that too, but he was in one of the biggest feuds of all time.
Yeah, and he was constantly in the main event. You know, he wasn't as good as Kerry, but he was constantly in the main event. He was constantly feuding with the Freebirds. We can't put him in ass.
And he's a legend still.
Legend. Isn't he in the Hall of Fame?
Yeah. Well, the whole family's in the Hall of Fame.
People do consider him a Hall of Fame. I mean, a legend. Yeah.
So what do you guys think then? Middle of the road or very good?
I'll say very
Eric
good.
Says elite. Okay. Yeah, we'll put very good.
Fair enough.
I don't know. Try to minimalize that. We're going to wrap this up. I'm getting hungry.
Yeah, I was just going to say, it's just a dinner. All right, we'll do about five?
Sure.
All right, we'll do about five more.
You list off the names. List off the essentials.
All right. Let's do this one next. Let's do
David?
The birds.
Okay.
No, we'll do all three Fabulous Freebirds as a group.
They gotta go
elite,
right?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Their biggest business. It was their biggest business. Oh, they have to be elite.
They were in the biggest, according to Stone Cold. When I was watching the documentary on the other day, that's the biggest feud of all time in wrestling. So,
well, to most people that lived in Texas, yeah.
Texas.
Oh yeah,
duh.
Yeah, he lived in Texas.
No, because he started when it was USWA.
Duh. Okay, so Freebirds are elite. Is there anyone that we could put in ass just to have one person there?
I can give you four names to put in ass.
Who is the worst wrestler to ever wrestle in world class?
Al Madrill.
Okay.
And it's because of he basically came in, he did jobs, he was in a jobber tag team with Bugsy McGraw. Then he came in, you know, 86, 87, Brian Diaz turned heel, him and Diaz teamed up together, but the matches really weren't that good.
Okay. Where would we put Black Bart? Okay.
Yeah. Buddy Roberts?
He was a world champion, though. He carried the company in its later stages.
What happened to that argument?
That went away because of Bart. No, Buddy Roberts, we already pulled with the Freebirds, Eric.
Okay. How about John Tatum?
Tatum?
Did you have him on?
Yeah. Middle of the road.
Okay. His work with Missy Hyatt's just middle of the road?
Yeah, because it really didn't reach its peak until they both got to Mid-South.
Okay.
David Van Aaron.
Elite.
I was, he would definitely be elite. And hadn't he not died, who knows what he could have done.
So do we put him elite or do we not because he didn't achieve?
No, I would say elite because he was elite for the time that he was alive.
Okay.
Mike?
A couple more names because I really think that we'll get crucified if we don't rank Iceman King Parsons.
Elite, right?
Now we can ask.
Oh, what a name like Iceman. Watch. You got to have the elite.
Iceman Parsons.
Bill Irving.
Bill Irwin?
Irwin.
He would probably go middle of the road.
Who's the main guys you want to get to, Doug?
Well, there's a couple more names I want to talk about.
Ooh.
We got to talk about Skandor Akbar. Okay. Another huge manager. I think he was 100 times better than Gary Hart. I would put him in the elite.
Okay.
How about Abdullah the Butcher?
Abdullah the Butcher? Abdullah, I think, would have to go in very good.
Okay.
David Van Aaron. Mike.
Mike?
Yeah. Will he go very good or middle of the road?
I would
say middle of the road.
Very good. You would say middle of the road?
Yeah.
All right, show your work. Why?
I mean, because he wasn't part of the – he was okay in the ring, so he wasn't the top Von Erich. So, I say middle road. Why do you say very good?
Because he was another one that it was the illnesses and it was the tragedies that kept him from, really achieving. He could have achieved if he didn't have the demons. So, I will agree and say middle of the road.
Okay.
One more name I think we should get to because I've been doing nothing but promoting this bitch.
Sunshine?
Yeah.
Well, what about
and I think she would, what?
I think
Dr.
she's
Dusty
elite.
Wounds.
She would have to be elite. She was, I mean, she wasn't as big as the Von Erich boys, but she was damn near close.
Was she?
Yeah. My opinion.
Okay.
What were you saying, Clint?
Is that going to do it? You got one more?
Clint,
what about
Dr.
Now,
what, Clint?
Dr. Dusty Wills.
No, he wasn't there.
He was.
If he was, it was just for a couple of shots.
Ah.
Any more names to rapid fire, or are we just going to? I only have 20 names here, so I think we went through all of them.
Yeah.
Unless you want to do the Von Erich as a whole with the lead, so that's all I got for that.
You want to do one more name or what?
Yeah.
Percival Pringle the Third.
So,
otherwise known as Paul Bearer.
Ooh.
He didn't do the biggest spots there, did he? Wasn't he a mid-card manager?
Well, he was Rick Rude's manager.
Okay.
For that purpose alone, I would say elite, but I don't think he was the most elite manager. I think it was Akbar.
So would you put him at the top end of very good? Or the
yes,
low end?
I would put him at the top end of very good.
Okay.
Yeah, I would put very good. Should we go over what tiers? I mean, what who within each tier and then...
Yeah, so our world class tier list. You can go through it, Doug.
All right, at the elite, we have Fritz Von Erich, Rick Rude, Gino Hernandez, Chris Adams, Kerry Von Erich, all three Freebirds, David Von Erich, Iceman King Parsons, Skandor Akbar, and Sunshine. At the very good tier, we have Scott Casey, Gary Hart, Gorgeous Jimmy Garvin, Bruiser Brody, Kabuki, Kevin Von Erich, Abdullah the Butcher, and Percival Pringle III. The middle of the road tier, we have Al Perez, Buzz Sawyer, The Midnight Express with Jim Cornette, John Tatum, and Mike Von Erich. The tier, Rock and Roll Buck Zumhoff, Lance Von Erich, and Black Bart. And then at the ass tier, we have Al Madrill. If Al Madrill is still alive, we're more than likely getting sued.
Well, that was the WCCW tier ranking. That
yeah,
was fun. Guys.
Basically, this is just a teaser for what's going to happen Friday night. And Friday night, with more names...
We'll be a lot more in depth.
Plus, we will not be ordering dinner around that time, so we'll actually be focused.
And Kenneth will be on this Friday too, right, Kenneth?
Yeah, we'll be on. I'm not working Friday, so
sweet.
I'll be able to join up.
Beautiful.
Nice.
All right, so it's either going to be the Golden Era, the Attitude Era, the Monday Nitro Era, or the Ruthless Aggression Era. And if it's the
Golden
Era...
Do you guys have
any
preference? Oh, yeah, the Golden Era.
I'm a Golden Era guy. I mean, I'm a Golden Era guy, but I don't have an issue with either era. I mean, with the Golden Era, I got to write down 200 fucking names. So...
I'm going to do WCW, so...
Well, and that's going to be they're all going to be interesting. And we're going to be... The only reason why I think we'll get away with this WCCW tier list is, like Scott Casey said 2 weeks ago, the majority of these guys are dead.
Yeah.
So we can't get into too much trouble.
Right.
I mean, we can find a way to get in trouble, but we can't get into too much trouble.
Uh-huh. All right,
guys.
Well, that was fun,
all right, guys.
Boys.
It was a lot of fun.
Thanks,
and I cannot wait until Friday with the next tier list. And I have a feeling that
Thursday. So
huh?
I'll let you guys know. Oh, yeah, I was going to say the polls are going to end Thursday.
All right. Well, I'm off Thursday, Friday, so I can spend all that time writing. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Yeah, and she got days off and stuff like that in the middle of the week.
Yeah. Well, I haven't been at work for 2 weeks.
Why?
Almost 2 weeks. I have to be inside. I have to quarantine myself.
Yeah, okay. Have fun with that.
Yeah, I know. It sucks.
So,
but
well, you can watch WrestleMania on ESPN right now. So,
yeah, WrestleMania 30 is on that. That's the one Daniel Bryan won. Sweet, relive that.
And speaking of that too, did you also hear that our rumors that WrestleMania will be taped this week? It will not be live this year.
Yeah, I wanted to say one thing about that. I think they are making a mistake by doing that, but you can get more into that next week.
Yeah.
I know you guys want to eat, so.
So,
All right, but yeah, no, we'll definitely get more into that next Sunday, Eric, I promise.
Yep.
All right. Sounds good.
Later, boy.
All right, boys.
Stay safe.
We'll see you on Friday night.
Yep, right. 9 p.m.?
Yep, 9 p.m.
Okay. Yep. Oh, yeah, you don't have to work on Saturday morning next week, right? That was supposed to be me.
Right, yeah. It was supposed to be you.
Yeah. So we'll see you Friday night, 9 p.m. Have a good evening. Stay safe, everybody.
All right, yeah. Look, if you don't have to go outside, don't do it.
Exactly.
Hey, the only time I go outside is when I have to go to work to deal with people, okay?
Exactly. If I have to go to work or if I have to go to the grocery store, those are my only times outside.
Yep.
All right. Everybody be safe, and then we'll talk to everybody Friday night, 9 p.m.
Yep. Right. Bye, Daniel.
You
bye, Quinn. Bye, Dad. Doug.
All right. Bye, guys.
Bye.
All right. Bye.